Hello, and thank you for joining us for The Central Message, a ministry of Central Chapel Church in Hedgesville, West Virginia. We hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by today's message. Now, here is a word from God's Word with Pastor Keith Walsworth.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we want to just thank you for this opportunity to be able to come before you and ask that you will work through this time together as we look into your word for guidance and direction. We pray that you would speak to us. We're living in very uncertain times, and we need your hand upon us. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, to give us strength, and that our faith would shine brightly in the midst of the darkness, and that regardless of what happens, we will give you the praise and the honor and the glory. So take your word, open our eyes that we might see, open our ears that we might hear, and give us the faith to believe it and to take it and to walk by it. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever lost a battle you felt pretty confident in? I can remember years ago, used to play paintball with our kids as they were growing up, and sometimes we'd have other individuals join us, and we just had a lot of fun. But back then, you know, I could jump tall buildings in a single bound faster than a speeding bullet, but that's not true anymore. But anyway, I'll never forget one time we were playing with some other individuals, and this one individual had a paintball gun. Now, I was using a slingshot, and our family, that's what we had slingshots. And so I was going up, we were going up against this individual who had a paintball gun. And he was pretty confident he was going to win this thing. So anyway, we're playing paintball. It's fairly dark outside. All we have are the outdoor lights. Anyway, we're playing, and he's pretty well situated. And I was kind of watching him, and I saw where he got. He kind of hunkered underneath some brush, and I was able to sneak around the woods and come in from behind him. And I was real quiet, and I just kind of snuck right up there. And he's laying down there with his paintball gun, just kind of watching. He's really camouflaged good, but I knew he was there. And so I walked right up to him, and I took that slingshot, and I just popped him right there. And he lost that battle. But you know, when it comes to spiritual war, sometimes we might think we're stronger than we are. We might think we're ready for the battle when we're really not. You know, Paul is writing to Timothy and used the scenario of a soldier and a war. And he said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And then he went on to say this, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Well, who had enlisted Timothy as a soldier? It was God himself. In each of us, if we know Christ as Lord and Savior, we've come to that point in our life where we've recognized that we were sinners, and without God's grace, we were lost for eternity, spend eternity in a place called hell. And that's when we recognize that through faith alone, in Christ alone, because when he went to the cross of Calvary, he died in my place. He took my sins, that I could be set free, and I would become a child of God. But he enlisted me into this spiritual battle. And I want to talk to you a little bit about spiritual battle. If you remember, this is Palm Sunday. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus was entering... he was coming towards Jerusalem. And as I can imagine, early morning, he and his disciples got up and they started their journey. After going a little ways, he told a couple of disciples, "You guys go over here. You're going to find a baby colt, a donkey, tied. And I want you to go get that colt and bring it back to me." They went. They found the colt just exactly as Jesus had said. They brought it back to him. He mounted that colt and he rode that donkey into Jerusalem. But if you remember, before they got there, the people began to just come out and meet him. And they had palm branches, and they were singing, and they were praising God and saying hallelujah. And they would lay those branches down and the cloaks down, and they were just all excited, and they were praising God, and they were on their way to Jerusalem. And finally, the Pharisees said, "Jesus, you know, calm these people down. You are disturbing the peace." And Jesus said, if they don't cry out, the rocks will. Well, anyway, they finally arrived in Jerusalem. And at that particular point, things got really, really excited. And Jesus was there. The people were excited, but Jesus was saddened in his heart. You see, Jesus understood that these people were rejoicing in him. They were celebrating him as King of the Jews, shouting Hosanna, but it wasn't because of who he was as much as it was what he was able to do. You see, these individuals, according to the Gospel of John, had learned that he was the one who could perform the miracles. He could raise the dead. He could cause the blind to see, the mute to talk, the deaf to hear. He could calm a sea. He could feed thousands with a little boy's sack lunch. And so they came to him only because of what he was able to do. They had learned that he was able to meet their needs. He was able to do that which was exceedingly beyond what maybe they would even hope. But he came into Jerusalem and the party was going on. But if you know the account, it wasn't too long and things changed. Jesus was arrested. He had told his disciples what was going to happen. They weren't grasping at all, but nevertheless, he was arrested. He was tried, and they were going to crucify him. And so during this arrest and the trial and all of that, there was something happening in the lives of the people. Those who had been rejoicing with him and shouting Hosanna now, something had happened. Their hope had turned to doubt. Their faith had turned to fear. And their praise had turned to rage. You see, what was happening with Jesus was destroying their image. And they began then to holler out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And you ask the question, how could they have gone from Hosanna, King of the Jews, to crucify him? It was because Jesus let them down. He disappointed them. They saw him as this miracle worker. They saw him as the one who would make sure their bellies were filled, to make sure that their relatives were healed. But here he is, he's arrested. And they're crying out, if he can't save us from the Romans, then crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. What a sad day that was. To see what had happened so quickly. They were confident he was their Messiah. They were confident that he was the one. And now they've turned on him. Here we are, 2,000 years later. And our faith is being tried, isn't it? I mean, this coronavirus has it's caused some of us to shake in our boots. We don't know when the end is going to be. We don't know the extent of what's going to happen with all of this. Our faith is being challenged. And we're faced with the fact that maybe he's not going to be the miracle worker. You know, there was a preacher arrested this last Sunday. He held services in Florida and he wasn't supposed to do that. But one of the things that he did, he told his people that if they had enough faith, their toilet paper would never run out. Well, here we are at a point where we're asking the question, what if my toilet paper runs out? What if I lose my job? What if I get the virus? What if I die? And I want to touch on that. The writer of Hebrews was writing to a group of people who were going through some pretty tough times. Their faith was being shaken. And they were beginning to wonder whether or not it was worth following Jesus. Why weren't things going better for them? So the writer of Hebrews is writing to them and encouraging them and challenging them to press on. Press on. And in chapter 10, I want to read the last few verses of chapter 10. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 35, the writer of Hebrews is saying, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. Your confidence, of course, is in God. It's not in me. Right now, we're realizing that I'm not able to control this thing. I don't know how to fix it. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have the need of endurance, so that you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You hear that? Jesus is saying, now listen, I don't want you to be like Palm Sunday people, praising God today and tomorrow saying, crucify him, because he's disappointed me. Jesus said, no, you need the confidence. You need to have that endurance. You walk by faith and you don't draw back. And then verse 39 says this, but we are not of those who draw back. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's who we want to be. We want to be those individuals that have the faith, the saving faith, not just an emotional faith where we had a Jesus fix in our life. You know, it's one thing to believe things up here. The Bible tells us that Satan believes, the devil believes and trembles, but he has no hope. He'll never be saved from his evil. He has no hope of eternal life. And so we have to be careful that what we call our faith is more than just a mental acknowledgement. It needs to be that saving faith where we have wholeheartedly put our trust and our confidence in what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross of Calvary in my place. He satisfied the just demands of the Holy God. My sins have been washed away, placed as far as the east is from the west. God has placed them behind his back. I am his child. And now he wants me to endure, to press on, and don't give up, to walk by faith. Now, these verses precede chapter 11, and most of us are very familiar with chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the great faith chapter, and we turn to it. In verse 1, he says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. But then he talks about all the great things that individuals have been able to accomplish by faith. In verse 4, by faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was faith that made Abel acceptable in the eyes of God. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. It was his faith that God was so pleased in. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being delivered, divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, and he prepared an ark. It was faith that kept Noah going. We go down and read these. In verse 23, we read about Moses. Moses was born and hidden for 3 months, his parents, but it was their faith that caused him to be able to survive. He forsook Egypt. By verse 28, it says, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, walls of Jericho fell down. And we're learning all these things that faith has done. And they've been able to accomplish great things. And we read that and we begin to think that if we just have enough faith, we can do anything. If we just have enough faith, God will just miraculously take care of us. Well, we got to read the rest of the chapter, because it doesn't stop there. In the last few verses, we read this, verse 36. Still others, after all these great things that faith has done, still others had their mockings and their scourgings, yes, and in chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. Sometimes God doesn't deliver us. Sometimes it's the trials that he uses to purify the church, to strengthen our faith, to help us to become the men and the women that we need to become. Because before you get to reading all the great things in chapter 11, are those verses that we read in chapter 10. Do you remember them?
Starting in verse 35, he said, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who is coming, he will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Remember those on Palm Sunday? And the praise and the honor and the glory that they were given to God? And laying down the palm branches, singing hallelujah or hosanna. But then within a few short days, they were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Why? Because Jesus had disappointed them. He had failed them. He didn't live up to their expectations. He was supposed to be the great Messiah and redeem them from Rome. He was to make sure their bellies were filled. He was to make sure their sick were healed. And now he's going to the cross of Calvary. Jesus had let them down. He failed to meet their expectations. And I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we could respond the same way. Because we're living at this time when we're saying, "What if? What if my toilet paper runs out? What if I lose my job or my home?" And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, "Now come on, come on, you need to be steadfast. There's got to be that confidence and that endurance. He is coming. It will be worth it all. Don't give up. The just shall live by faith. And don't be like those back there 2,000 years ago that fell away, that withdrew from him." And notice, do you remember the last verse that we read in chapter 10? Verse 39, he says, "But we are not, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe to the saving of the soul." You see, there's a couple of types of faith. We talk about faith a lot. And we say that we are to have faith in God, and we are. But we need to have saving faith. You know, James tells us that even the devil believes in God, and yet he trembles. And so, if we're not careful, then the faith that we have may be nothing more than just mental facts that we have learned and we have believed. But it takes more than just mental acknowledgement of certain things to be true. There is a saving faith, a confidence that we are unworthy of God's love, we are unworthy of his forgiveness, and yet because of his great love, he sent his only begotten Son. That's the whole purpose of the Passion Week. It was the whole purpose of the crucifixion. Jesus Christ had come to die, to go to the cross of Calvary in my place, in your place, to die for our sins, that we could be forgiven. And saving faith is that faith that comes to him, recognizing we don't deserve his love, we don't deserve his forgiveness, we don't deserve his grace, but we cry out to him and say, "God, I am a sinner, and I am sorry, but I am so thankful that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the means in which my sins could be forgiven, my sins could be paid for, that I could have eternal life." And so saving faith is when we come to God recognizing there is nothing that we could ever do to deserve God's acceptance, for we have all sinned and come short of his glory. But we receive the free gift by placing our faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, and we become his children. But there are times when that faith will be tried, and our faith needs to be strong. And we need to stand true to the very end. You remember Job in the Old Testament? Job was quite the man. He was upright. He wasn't sinless because he was a child of, of Adam. But nevertheless, he was an upright man. But Satan came along to God and said, God, you know, the only reason that Job follows you, the only reason Job serves you, the only reason Job says he loves you is because you've blessed him. If you allow me to take his blessings away, I'll show you he's not the man you think he is. I'll show you his faith is frail. And I'll show you that he will turn from you. And God, knowing Job's character, gave Satan permission to go ahead. And if you remember the account, in one day's time, Job lost all of his children, most of his assets. And yet he was able to say, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the faith that we need to have today. I mean, we are faced with a lot of uncertainties. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I want to encourage you to take the words that we find in the book of Hebrews. The whole book was written at a time when hardships were coming, persecution was taking place, and many were slipping away from Jesus. They were turning and going back to their old religion. They were turning and going back to their own ways. Kind of like the individuals on Palm Sunday that were praising Jesus for what he could do. And then when they saw that he was not going to be able to continually accomplish what they had hoped he would, they turned on him. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, come on, come on. You need to have this endurance. You need to have this confidence. God is a God that will keep his promise. He never told us that things would always be easy. He never promised that this life would be a rose garden. He said that all who would follow him would suffer hardships and tribulation. And you know, we're told to count it all joy when we fall into different trials and tribulations, knowing that God uses those things to refine us, to make us stronger in our faith and our walk. You know, there's a lot of people watching us right now. The whole world is watching. And for those of us who have always been saying, you need to put your faith in Jesus. Follow him. Serve him. Glorify him. He can meet your needs. He'll take care of you, we say. Well, now our faith is being tried. And people need to see that our faith is real. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, don't throw away your confidence. Those promises where he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, they're true. Those promises that tell us that all things work together for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, they're true. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't cast away your confidence. You need that endurance. Hang in there. Yes, it's rough right now, but the just shall walk by faith. We must live by faith. We're not like those who fall apart. We're not like those who fall away. And then chapter 11 says, look what faith has done. Faith has accomplished great things. Men and women have been able to accomplish great things because their faith was strong, but it doesn't always end that way. Because he ended up by reminding us. Now remember, there were others that had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves on the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith. That's what we want right now. We want to have the faith that endures. If you were watching a couple of weeks ago, I walked through the book of Habakkuk. And in the book of Habakkuk, we're told that we're to live by faith and to walk by faith as well. But I want to read those final words that Habakkuk finally comes to accept and to apply to his own life and to show his faith in God. And he said this, "Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights." I want to encourage you, don't give up now. Don't be like those on Palm Sunday who were filled with praises to God, but then when God didn't meet their expectations, they turned and said, "Crucify him, crucify him." May our faith be a shining faith. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your love and your goodness and your grace upon us, and we need your strength. I pray for those listening to my voice. There are going to be those who are wondering what tomorrow's going to bring. There are those who are going through some really tough times. But your promises are true. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I would ask that you would just put your arms around them, strengthen them, and help them to be strong. May they go to your word. May they seek those promises. May they stand firm in the midst of this tribulation. And may they give you the praise and the honor and the glory. And Father, if there be some who are listening that do not know Jesus yet, I pray that they would contact us. We would be glad to talk with them and to help them to find the salvation that's found in Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we made an offer. We're offering this little booklet. It's called Don't Stub Your Toe. It's written by Todd Friel. And it's just a little booklet that'll help you to just walk through that salvation experience to make sure that what you have is saving faith and not just head knowledge. So we would just encourage you to go to our website, 2016.centralchapel.com, and there'll be a little tab there that you can click, and we'll send this to you free. Thank you for joining us today, and may God encourage you and bless you, and may you have a great Easter.
You have been listening to The Central Message, a ministry of Central Chapel Church in Hedgesville, West Virginia. We invite you to tune in each week at this same time to hear more teaching from the Bible with Pastor Keith Walsworth. If you would like more information on becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, would like to further your walk of faith with Him, or would like to visit Central Chapel, please stop by our website at 2016.centralchapel.com. Thank you for joining us today. We hope to see you again next week.